Let's join together in prayer this morning. Father, we're here in this place of worship, and we're gently reminded of your power and your authority, that the winds and the waves submit to your name. They submit to your voice, they submit to your power, they submit to your authority. You are the creator God who put them into position, who created the winds and the waves. And Lord, they are under your authority. And it's reminding me this morning that I am very much like those winds and those waves, that I am under your authority. You are God. I am not. I'm not in control. I'm not in authority. You are the only one who is. And I pray, Father, that we would hear that today and be reminded that we are not as powerful as we thought we were. We're not in charge as much as we thought we were, but you are, and we are grateful for it. And in the midst of great difficulty, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of many pieces of our lives, we know that we can rest in knowledge that you are seeing to the things that are going on in our lives. You are the one who hung the stars, and you can move mountains in our lives. You can move the barriers. You can remove the difficulties. You can remove the issues that are taking place in our lives, the pain, the hurts, the sorrow. You can take all of that, and we can trust you with that. And I pray, Father, that we would do more than just believe it, but that we would act upon it, that it would be less about lip service and actual faith and trust that you will work. Because God, each of us comes to this place with difficulty, with hardship, with hurt. But you, God, are fully capable. You are the creator, the sustainer, the giver of life. And we're so grateful that you are in control, that you are active in our lives. As you are active in Scripture, you continue to be active in the very present here and now. You have answered prayers. You have sustained and you have blessed. And so, God, we rejoice in knowing that you are with us. That is your son, one of your son's names, Emmanuel, God with us. And so we thank you for that, God. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us today, that you would open our eyes to see a little bit more of who you are and how we might live our lives to glorify you, that we would be changed and transformed, that our hearts would be molded and shaped by your word and by your spoken word. God, will you speak to us and help us to be more and more like your son, Jesus? God, that is our desire, that we would be more like him. So God, will you do that in us? Thank you for the way that you lead us and guide us. We're so very grateful. Be with us today. Be with us tomorrow. And we know that we can trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to invite our youngest children up to the stage with me today. So kids, if you are age 3 or so, 3 or 4, up to 5th grade, I want to invite you to just come and sit up here right on the stage. We're going to have a conversation. Would that be okay? Can I hang out with the kids for a little bit and just ignore all of you older people? You don't like that, huh? You want me to hang out with you too? All right. Come on up. If she doesn't want to come up, she doesn't have to. Yeah? Okay. One step at a time. There you go. Nora, do you want to come up? No? Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to sit down right over here. Is that okay? Right next to my buddy here. Well, I'm going to change that because not everybody can see me. I'm going to get a chair. Okay, quick question for you guys. Emmy, you ready? I know you got the answer to this, okay? What month are we in? Does anybody know what month we're in? Who said that? Who's me? What month are we in?
November.
November. Okay, what's the coolest thing about November? Anybody? Coolest thing about November. What is it?
Snow.
Snow. I agree with you.
The cool.
The cool, okay. The cool, like the cool weather, okay.
The changing weather.
The changing weather, very good. Nathaniel?
Jesus' birthday.
It's coming, isn't it? We're getting there in not too long. Yep. Okay, anybody else?
Raking leaves.
Raking leaves. Can you come to my house and rake some leaves?
Yes.
Okay. And then jump in them? Yes, absolutely. What do you think?
Thanksgiving.
How did we talked about November, right? And November has an amazing holiday called
Thanksgiving.
Okay. So do you guys like Thanksgiving? Yeah. That was kind of a reluctant, Yeah. Do you like Thanksgiving? Emmy, do you like Thanksgiving and the food? What is your favorite part of Thanksgiving? Food.
I don't know.
Mashed potatoes?
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Mom and Dad, is that true? Mashed potatoes? No, she doesn't like mashed potatoes. Okay. Let's see. What is, Bennett, what is your favorite thing about Thanksgiving?
Eating.
Eating. That's good. Yeah. What about you?
Spending time with my family.
Fantastic. Good answer. Okay. Sophia, what do you like about Thanksgiving dinner?
Sweet potato.
Sweet potatoes. Okay. Is that because they have a lot of marshmallows and brown sugar and stuff? No, you just like sweet potatoes. Okay. All right. Nora, do you have a favorite food at Thanksgiving?
The meat.
The meat. Is that turkey or is it ham? Both. Okay. All right. Yeah, there's a lot of that type of stuff, huh? Okay. One of my favorites is green bean casserole. Does anybody like that?
I have never tried it.
You've never tried it? Oh, you should totally try it this year. And hopefully your parents will have it for you. If not, maybe another year. Okay. Something that I like about Thanksgiving is that we get to be thankful. I know. That's brilliant, right? It's a brilliant idea. You're exactly right, Bennett. I think that Thanksgiving is one of the most important things that we can do in our lives because there's a lot of people and a lot of things that we can be thankful for. Okay? Did you know that the Bible talks a lot about Thanksgiving and giving thanks? Okay, here's one of my favorite verses when it talks about Thanksgiving or giving thanks. In a book in the New Testament, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances." Okay, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances, when we're in a bad mood, should we give thanks? Then no, we shouldn't. We probably could. Yeah, when we're sad, do you think we give thanks?
Yeah.
We probably should, huh? When we're happy, should we give thanks? Amy, what do you think? When we're happy, should we give thanks?
Definitely, yeah? A brilliant idea.
That's definitely a brilliant idea. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Okay. Ethan, can you help me? Hold that microphone. And can you read that verse for me? Okay. But it's Psalms 104. But you got to put this to your face. There you go.
Psalms 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
Very good. I'll take this and you can hold on to that for just a little bit. Okay. I think that Thanksgiving is one of the most important things that we can do.
Yes.
Okay. Here's a question that I have for you. What are you thankful for?
God.
You're thankful for God?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
My family.
You agree with him? You said family?
I said family too.
You said family too?
I said family.
Awesome. Okay. Nora, what did you say? Thankful for Jesus. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to pass this on to somebody else. Can you, do you like to read?
Yeah.
Okay, can you read that for us? It's the same verse, and there's a reason for that, but I want you to read it out loud for us. Psalm.
Psalm 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his court with praise. Gives thanks to him. Bless his name.
Yeah, very good. You can hold on to that. Okay. This tells us that whenever we enter into God's courts, he was talking about the temple and things like that. So like when we enter into the church doors, we should enter with thanksgiving, that we should be thankful for what God has done in our lives. Do you think that's an easy thing to do or a hard thing to do? It should be easy, but sometimes it's hard because we have things going on in our lives that we sometimes just don't know how to say thank you. Yeah. And we can't help it. Very good. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Nora, can you read that verse too? No, you don't want to? Not on the microphone? Okay. Emmy, would you read it for me one more time? No, I'm striking out here. Nathaniel, nope. Okay, all right. You will do it for me again? Okay, all right. We're going to have you read it for me one more time. Nice and loud without... I'm kidding. Here's the microphone.
Psalms 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
Okay. So... we bless his name when we give him thanks. Who are we talking about?
Jesus.
We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about God. I have one more verse that I want to share with you. I'm going to read it. Thank you, though. Sorry. Okay? Here's what it says. It says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. This is in Colossians, one of my favorite books. And here's what it says, okay? In whatever you do, say that with me, whatever you do. Okay, so when you're at home playing with toys, give thanks to God. When you're going to sleep, give thanks to God. When you wake up in the morning and you're eating breakfast that you're like, I don't know if I want orange juice today. We give thanks to God. Nathaniel, did you roll your eyes with orange juice? Yeah, okay, all right. When you're eating green bean casserole at Thanksgiving and you're not sure you like it, you can still give thanks to God. You know why? Because you have food on the table and you can eat it, and you have a loving family that cares for you and loves you. This whole month, we're going to have an opportunity to do different things that will give thanks, okay? And this was your guys' opportunity. But I got one thing for you that I want to share with you, okay? Okay, Andrea's going to help me out. So this is a spinner that Andrea's going to hand you. And you can color in some pictures of what you are thankful for and then spin it around and be reminded all month long what you are thankful for. So these are pictures that you can draw that you're thankful for, okay? So we could draw a cross on there because we're thankful for Jesus, right? We can draw all kinds of stuff, all right? All right, so give me Knuckles, and then you guys are going to go back to your seats, okay? Knuckles, bye. Yeah, we're going to get one for Brielle too. Okay, if she wants Knuckles, if she doesn't, that's fine. Let's give our kids a round of thanks. Thank you.
I almost forgot it.
Thank you. Yeah, you're doing good. Oh, there we go. Yeah, there we go. And folks, you're not left in the dark, okay? today, while we are talking about this thing called Thanksgiving, and we're kind of doing some things throughout the rest of this month, you have opportunities to express your gratitude and your thanks as well. Today, after service, we're going to have a basket that's available for you to take a thank you card. And your job, your challenge, is that if you take a thank you card, don't add it to your thank you card collection, okay? I know you'll be tempted to. But the idea is to take a card and to think about someone that has impacted your life spiritually, okay? So think back to a person that discipled you, someone that mentored you, somebody that has spoken a word of truth into your life, maybe at the perfect moment that you needed, and write a thank you card to them. Stick it in the mail, or if they're someone that you encounter even today, that you can write them a thank you note. And let them know how God used them in your life. Because that is something that we can easily neglect to do in giving thanks to someone for what God has done in them to you for your own spiritual growth. So that's your challenge. If you want to do that, do it. Take a thank you card with you today. If you need more than one, you can take more than one. I think I have enough for you. Where are they located at? Oh, they're up here on the stage. I knew that. So you can get one of these thank you cards after the service today. And when we're done, I will put them on the altar railing so then you can have them. Everybody with me? All right, fantastic. So please don't add to your collection of thank you cards. Utilize them, okay? All right, let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time of message today. Father, thank you for giving us opportunities to be reminded that we can be thankful at any point in time. Thank you for the reminders that your word is good and we can enter into your courts with praise and thanksgiving. And I pray, Lord, that today you will speak to our hearts and that you will guide us. We pray all these things in your son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. I forgot to go over a couple of announcements with you because that's what we're supposed to do next. First one is this, is that we are going to be doing, this Wednesday is grab-and-go meals for our kids and families and youth group, and that also includes Hope Kids, and that will begin at 6:30. Grab and go meals starts at 6, and then youth group and parents life group will start at 6:30 as well. And so parents, kids, teens, be here and enjoy what's going on. The other thing that you need to know, and this is the last thing I'm just going to go over really quickly, it is this, is that we have a thing that is called the Wesleyan Life, and it is our denominational magazine that gives you a lot of information about a lot of different things, and this quarter, this particular issue is about prayer, and I think that you would really be benefit from taking that magazine with you, read it, and then you can also just be aware of what's going on and some of the other things that are going on in our denomination, schools, and things of that nature. So feel free to take one with you. They are located at the exit as you're going out, or there's coffee tables and things like that where the magazines are at. If you've not read any of the Wesleyan Lives before, I have a few old copies if you would like to take a look at those. We're starting a brand new sermon series today that is called Things Jesus Never Said. Things Jesus Never Said. While Jesus was on earth, he probably said a lot of things, kind of like you and me. He wasn't a silent person. He did a lot of talking. And you and I, we do our fair share of talking, right? I think that the average is like 10,000 words for guys. I don't want to say what the average for women is. partially because I don't remember, but I know that it's greater than 10,000. And please, if you don't have to come, we don't have to talk about that. But when we say things, when we communicate things, we speak, we tell jokes, we tell stories, we actually do a lot of things. And Jesus shared a lot of words, stories, parables, and occasionally Jesus even shared hard things. So what did he say? What didn't he say? What could Jesus have said? And as we look at the gospel accounts, we recognize that Jesus said some really important things. Some of those that we've looked at in the last 7 weeks found themselves in the Sermon on the Mount, talking about life, talking about love, how to follow God, how to pray. He talked about money. He talked about treating other people with respect. He talked about divorce. He talked about he shared difficult words to the Pharisees. And he also said things that made people mad. Now, that's hard to imagine, right? That Jesus said things that made people mad. Sometimes the truth hurts, right? Now, something that he didn't talk about is that he didn't talk about sports. He didn't talk about my favorite team. Hard to believe that Jesus didn't talk about the Denver Broncos. Sad to tell you that, but he didn't. He didn't talk about your team either. He didn't talk about your favorite music. He didn't talk about your favorite cars or anything that is culturally relevant as far as things today. He also didn't say this: Father, forgive them. They know not what they type on Facebook. He didn't say that, did he? He also didn't say, fool me once, I'll forgive you. Fool me twice, well, you get anemic dysentery. He didn't say that either. He also didn't say, sorry, you've sinned too much for me to forgive you. I can forgive everyone else, but not you. You annoy me. He didn't say those things. Jesus did not say those things. But what did he say? Today we're going to look at Jesus' words specifically. We're going to talk about forgiveness and what Jesus had to say about it. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture that we have become familiar with the last number of weeks, and that is the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus talks about forgiveness in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's connected to the Lord's Prayer. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 9 through 14, he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Verse 14 says this: for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When we read that passage, when we read that section of scripture, it's kind of sobering, isn't it? It kind of wakes us up a little bit. It kind of jars us back into awareness of what's going on, because those words are powerful. Those words are actually very, very strong, and they're words that we should kind of understand and hold on to. But even now, part of the reason why it's sobering or unsettling is because we know that forgiveness is something that we can struggle with at times. Maybe not right now. Maybe not in the moment that we are in the present time, but there have been and there probably will be times where we are confronted with the very real issues of unforgiveness. Because there are times when we have held a grudge. And I don't think I'm alone in that. Have you ever held a grudge against someone? There are times when we allow a little bit of bitterness to grow up into our lives like a weed, and it grows into our hearts and it infects every aspect of our lives. There's times when we let a grievance that we are wrestling with become a bigger deal than what we really think it could be. And there's times where we feel betrayed and hurt. And these are very real emotions. They are very real experiences in our lives. A friend may have lied to us or about us. Someone may have let us down, or someone didn't pay what they owe, or maybe someone didn't do what they said they were going to do. These are very real things, very real issues in our lives, and they are feelings that we can have. Not that we all experience them the same. We probably approach these things differently than you might. The way I might approach it might be differently than the way you might. But the reality is that we have been hurt. We have pain. We have things that have happened to us that really has impacted our ability to forgive. And I don't want to discount any of what you and I or any of us may have experienced in our lives. Because there are times where people that we thought we could trust or count on should have protected or cared for us, but they didn't. They didn't. They let us down. They hurt us. And they hurt you somehow. Sometimes it's verbally, sometimes it's emotionally, sometimes it's physically. Either way, it's difficult, it's hard, and sometimes we don't know how to get to the place of forgiveness. If you have ever found yourself in one of these scenarios, know that you're not alone. But it is something that we have to wrestle with. Forgiveness is difficult. I realize that. And it would be a mistake for me to say, well, just try harder. That's not the point. But I think that if we look at Scripture, we can have a couple of things that we can hold on to that will help us along the way. That'll give us a little bit of encouragement. That'll remind us that this issue of forgiveness is not just something that we provide a little bit of lip service or a little bit of, oh yes, I should forgive, so therefore I will, but we really don't mean it, but we should actually be able to get there. Now, I also know that in the human experience, there are things that maybe you have experienced or maybe you know that are wrongs, that are horrible and difficult. And probably we would want to call them unforgivable. They are brutally wrong, and they are things that we struggle with, and to be quite honest, there might be the need for counseling, and I would recommend it. And if you find yourself in one of those situations, I would love to be able to chat with you and point you in the right direction, because I believe that forgiveness is something that Jesus was very firm on, and sometimes we need help to get there. So let's talk about this prayer that Jesus shared and the first clue in how to begin stepping Okay? How to begin stepping towards forgiveness is found in the first few words of this prayer, and it begins with "Our Father." Our Father. This is where it begins. This is the common understanding of who God is, that He is our Father, the Father of all of us. We are His children. And a relationship with God's other children matters to the heart of God. Hear this, hear that again. Our God is our Father. God is our Heavenly Father. We are His children. And our relationship with God's other children matters to the heart of God. Our relationship with God's other children matters to His heart. And here's what He says about that in Matthew 5, 23 to 24. He says, "Therefore, if you are offering a gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them and then come and offer your gift." Don't bring your offering to God when you are fighting with His other kids. Does Jesus go too far in that statement? I mean, think about it for just a moment. He's saying that in that time period, if you were bringing your gift to the altar, to the place where that gift was going to be burned up, and you remembered that there was a wrong between someone and you, you were to actually leave your gift there, not go through the process of offering the gift, but then go and find the person and be reconciled to them. That means to make amends and be okay and offer forgiveness, receive forgiveness, and then come back. How many times have we had bitterness well up within us and then we parked in the parking lot and we were just fine walking into church a particular Sunday? And when somebody said, "Hey, how are you?" you didn't say, "I am not well. Someone cut me off on the drive and I'm mad and I'm upset about it." No, you said, "I'm fine. How are you?" And you put a smile on your face. Or there was your sibling in the car with you and they pinched you and you hit them and they hit you back and it was a fight in the back seat and mom and dad had to pull the car over and say that famous thing that the parents always say, "Don't make me come back there." And they never will. But if they pull over, they will. I've done that before. When my kids were little, I pulled over and I went back there. I laughed the entire time because I did what my mom and dad. Anyways, and then you got into the parking lot and everything was, it's like you turned in and you're like, "Oh, everything's great." No, Jesus is saying when we are in those situations, go and make it right. Should we hear that? And when we come into worship, we should examine ourselves a little bit and say, there's someone right here that I need to be reconciled with. I need to go and talk to them and make sure everything's okay. Whew. What would that look like? What would that look like if we were if the church was a people that reconciled things quickly? Quick question. Who does unforgiveness hurt? It's actually two people. First is that if God is our Heavenly Father, it hurts God the Father when His children are unwilling to engage in forgiveness. Think about it for just a moment. If you are a parent or a grandparent and there is hurt going on within your immediate family, extended family, or friends or whatever, you feel that, don't you? And it hurts your heart when there is things going on in your family. Think about how God feels when his family is fighting. The other person that it hurts is the one who is not forgiving. It hurts their soul. It hurts the very fabric of their being. In a sense, they are choosing to live in a state of bitterness and anger, hurt, pain, and sometimes rage. They are choosing to let the wound continue in a state of infection, and it becomes a prison sentence, a prison of offense. And the key to get out is forgiveness, but they can't even imagine the key, and they can't even reach it. They can't even know that it's there. And the story goes that there's two men that sat in prison cells side by side, and one had been betrayed and falsely accused by a close friend. Years later, the two of them both get out of jail. They're released, and the one friend asks him, "Have you ever forgiven the man who put you here?" And the person said, "No, never." And his former cellmate says, "Then you're still in prison, just of a different kind." Unforgiveness builds a cell around our soul and holds us prisoner. Matthew 5:38 says this, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth." Matthew 5:43-45 says, "You have heard it said, heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Jesus could have stopped right there, but he didn't. He says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Jesus begins that whole section with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If you got wronged, if you got your eye poked, it was okay for you to poke another person in the eye. If you lost a tooth, it was okay for you to go to the person and punch him in the mouth and lose their tooth. That makes zero sense, doesn't it? Because then people are walking around with wounded eyeballs and messed up teeth. That's not cool. But the idea is, if you do something to me, I get to do it back to you. And I lived that way, and I was the little brother, and it never worked in my favor. Ever. When my brothers wronged me, I'm still the little guy. And I still try to get my way, and it doesn't work. And I ran to my mom all the time because she was going to protect me. But the idea is that Jesus is not speaking that way any longer. He actually gives us the next step. But pray, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who offended you. Pray for those who let you down, spoke badly about you, hurt you, didn't protect you. Can you even conceive of what it feels like to pray about those things? When we've been wronged, when we've been hurt, when we have had things happen to us, and we realize that there is nothing that we can do to make that situation right except to pray, that's probably the most difficult thing that we will wrestle with. Will I pray about that situation? I heard a story of a person who decided that him and his wife decided that they were going to sell their car, and so they decided that they would put it on the market and sell it, found somebody that was willing to buy it but didn't have a lot of the necessary finances to make it happen. And so they decided, well, we're gonna sell you the car, but we're gonna give you a 3-year time period to pay us for the car. Every year we're gonna have you come back to us and write a check for the car, and that's gonna be the way that we are gonna handle it. And so the guy's like, all right, that's great. You're being very generous with us. It wasn't worth a lot of money, but the guy didn't have a lot of money. So he comes and he writes the first installment in a check and leaves and does his thing, and they didn't see him the next year. He just took off. And the husband and wife are like, well, what do we do? Should we like call the police? Because really what he's done, he has stolen our property. Should we tell the police and we'll get our car back? And they're wrestling because they don't want to do that. And they spent some time praying about it and thinking about it. And they came back and they said, you know what? We are going to gift him the car. We're going to gift it to him. We're just going to let him have it. And what was paid for, it is done. It's taken care of. And the husband was like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know. He wronged us. He didn't do what he said he was going to do. And I just don't know. So they decided they would start praying about it, about the situation, that they would let it go. And at first, the prayers sounded very condemning. It sounded very much, he did that to us. Over time, the prayers became, God, will you bless him? Will you care for him? A couple years later, they were out and about, and they saw the man who was supposed to buy the car but now had a free car, or a well-discounted car. They saw him, eyes locked, and the guy turned around and ran. And the other guy was like, hey, hold on, stop, and took off running after him. And they chased each other, or he chased him for a little while, and he's like, get away, get away. And they eventually caught up, and he just said, I just want you to know that car is yours. It's a gift. I no longer want the payment for it. It is yours. Don't worry about any guilt. Don't worry about anything else. I prayed about it and God released me of it. The point of the story is that sometimes we just need to begin with prayer. Even if it is not the prayer that we think we should be praying, it might be a negative, but you're willing to at least entertain the idea of praying. Because what eventually happens is that when you are willing to engage in the process, your heart begins to change ever so slightly, and your heart begins to soften, and your heart begins to change, and your heart begins to realize that you are not the one who was wronged, but really it was God Almighty who was wronged, and you are going to let it go, and God will take it over. And your prayers may never change them. Actually, it might never ever change them. But when we begin to pray, and how we were wronged, our hearts always change. And that is exactly what it is. Prayer is the God-honoring start. Prayer is the God-honoring place to start in our own lives. It's the place where God begins to work, and this beautiful process of forgiveness is given a place to grow and develop. And we begin to recognize that as I have been forgiven, as you have been forgiven, we are willing to forgive. We're willing. We're at least starting. We're at least beginning. Colossians 3:13 says this, bear with one another and forgive one another. If you have any, if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive them as the Lord forgave you. And all these virtues put on love, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So we bear with one another. That means we deal with one another. We're okay with what is going on because we are a community of believers, and we forgive because we have been forgiven. You and I committed the sins that are in all reality only forgiven by God Almighty. And he has forgiven us through his son Jesus. Forgive as the Lord forgives. Now I know that in some instances, it might feel impossible. It might feel so difficult that we don't even know where to begin, but we've already covered it. Recognize that we are dealing with God's children. God's children. And to begin to pray. Those two things will at least get us on the trajectory and moving in the right direction. Will it solve everything? And will there be other things that we need to handle? Yes, there will be. But it's a start. It's a start. Andy Stanley says this, in the shadow of my hurt, forgiveness feels like a decision to reward my enemy. But in the shadow of the cross, forgiveness is merely a gift from one undeserving soul to another. That's really, really good. When it comes to forgiveness, we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it, but we get it from God. And as we have been given, we should give to others. As we receive, give it. What would the church look like? What would the world look like if we utilize the words, I forgive you, in a lot of our relationships? Between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, husbands and wives, friends. They are some of the three easiest words to speak, but some of the most heaviest words to carry. Dave Willis says, holding a grudge doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak. It sets you free. Forgiveness, at a basic level, what I want you to catch is this, is that forgiveness is not a suggestion. Jesus' word tells us that we forgive as we have been forgiven. It seems pretty explicit. And I know it's difficult. I know that. But for us as followers of Jesus, it's not a matter of if we will forgive. It really should be a matter of when. When will we move towards it so that we can be right with other people? It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. I hope that as you process a few things today. One, as you're processing who you might send a thank you note to, that you will also take some time to process if there's someone in your life that you need to begin the work of forgiveness with. And if so, I will be grateful because that means that reconciliation happens within the church, and that's a good thing because we should be reconciled to one another. But I also know that sometimes we need to go a little bit deeper and it's a little bit harder. And if I can help along the way, I would be glad to walk with you, encourage you, and help along the way. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to close our time together with singing. Father, I recognize that we could talk a lot about the things that your son didn't say. But your son did say that we should forgive as we have been forgiven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. God, we have the charge to begin to forgive. And I pray that you would help us walk with us through that so that we can live in reconciliation, so that we can live this life without the burden of bitterness and anger and frustration. And Lord, I think that we could even use sometimes the real heavy word such as hate. Help us to live without those things so that we can live our lives unburdened so that we can follow you even more so. God, guide us and direct us. Help us along the way, and may you truly, truly lead us every step of the way. Guide us and direct us. You are so good, Lord, and we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory because it is all yours anyways. We pray this in your son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. 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 Thanks so much for being here today. I'm going to set these cards right up here. And if you are interested, make sure you grab one before you leave today so that you can express that gratitude to someone in your life that has impacted you spiritually. Write it down, send it to them in the mail or hand it to them, and let them know how they have changed your life because of what they did and how they encouraged you, how they discipled you, or something along those lines. Let's, we have no music, so we are going to say, have a great day, and we will see you next week. Thanks so much for being here today. It's a joy to worship with you. We'll see you next week.